There's a really fascinating article in MoneyWeb this morning relating to MetCI being fined 100 million rands over a unit trust that lost 66% in 2 days, and written by Patrick Cairns. Patrick is on the line. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Jurgen Boyd, Deputy Chief Executive of the FSCA. But Patrick, are you there?
Hello, Chris.
Good to have you. Patrick, can you give us a little bit of background on this? This is an absolutely fascinating story, but there's an awful lot of meat to it. There's a lot of detail in it.
It is a very interesting story, Chris. It refers to a matter that happened back in December 2015, which, if you recall, was when Santa Nene was dismissed as the finance minister. And there was a unit trust, Third Circle, run by Third Circle and managed by MetCI, which suffered an incredible and unprecedented loss in the wake of that dismissal. It lost two-thirds of its value in 2 days. And this wasn't really noticed by too many people until the following month, when MoneyWeb was doing an analysis of unit trust returns of the previous year. We found this anomaly, and we started looking into what had happened. And it became clear that the fund had been running extensive derivative structures that, when the market turned against it, resulted in this very severe loss for the investors.
Okay, well, we'll come to the actual mechanics of it in a moment. But how big was this fund? And I assume it was predominantly retail investors.
It was predominantly retail investors. It was about 350 million at the time that this happened. And most of the investors were introduced by Third Circle itself, which also ran an advisory business. And there were a few other advisors dotted around the country who were also advising clients into this fund. It was held in one fund of funds, but it wasn't a large holding there. But otherwise, it was a fairly obscure unit trust that not many people held. But the losses were nevertheless of such a nature that it was quite an interesting story.
Absolutely. You know, going through your report here, your story there, Patrick, let me get this straight. Had Nenegate not happened, is there a likelihood that there might have been a very, very different outcome? Because from what I can gather, it looks like Third Circle had been heavily invested in extensive derivative structures.
Yeah, well, this is interestingly part of MetCI's argument, is that the losses in the fund were caused by this essentially black swan event. The counter-argument to that is that the FSCA's investigation has found quite clearly that whether this event happened or not, the fund was in contravention of its legal requirements. So yes, it is possible that these losses would not have been suffered if Nene hadn't been fired. But you just have to look at the previous couple of years' performance of this fund to notice that it was massively volatile compared both to its peers and to its stated objective, which was to deliver stable returns. It was showing a volatility more than three times the average fund in its category. And it was clearly running a strategy that always carried the risk of being blown up. And that's the risk of the strategy. You don't know what's going to happen to trigger that kind of event. But when it does happen, you're going to get caught with your trousers down.
Right. Okay. So that volatility you speak of, it's always a good indicator. Maybe this is a good point to bring in Jurgen Boyd here. So from what I can see, MetCI fell down on its due diligence of Third Circle because they were under the impression that they were predominantly invested in money market and other relatively safe instruments, where in fact they were pretty much up to their ears in extensive derivative structures. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, Chris. I mean, the fact of the matter is that MetCI actually admitted that they didn't have adequate systems to monitor the investments in the fund and the levels of exposures of derivatives in the fund, in this particular fund. And the systems weren't appropriate to do this measurement over quite a long period of time. So they were actually totally in the dark as to what was actually happening with in the underlying fund and how it was being invested by third circle investment managers.
Well, this is a terrible admission, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, in the sense that this is just one fund, and they're basically saying they didn't have the capability of doing proper due diligence in the fund. It kind of raises the question, what else could possibly have been going on?
Chris, and that's one of our findings during the inspection was we felt they actually acted recklessly with regard to carrying out their duties as a manager, because they were flying blind. They did not know exactly what was happening in the fund, and without that knowledge, they were not in a position to interact with the investment manager for corrective action. So they let them carry on over quite a long period of time with this extremely high derivative exposures and gearing in this particular fund.
Do you know, reading again the article, it says MetCI also took some time to conduct its own investigation before concluding that the way that Third Circle and fund manager Ian Lane had structured the fund went, inverted commas, beyond industry practice. It removed Third Circle as the manager of the funds in July 2016. Now, this blew in, December 2015. So more than 6 months. I mean, that does seem inordinately long time to come to that kind of conclusion.
Well, the losses happened just around about the middle of December. When we got back from, all of us got back from our annual break, Patrick raised this with us. And then we engaged with MetCI, and they advised us that they were going to carry out an investigation immediately, and that took a month or two. And when the investigation was complete, we got them in to explain to us. And that's when this admission came out about the lack of oversight over Third Circle investment managers. And at that stage, we decided there's something much deeper that we need to investigate into this fund. And that's around about May 2016 when we decided that we're going to call a detailed forensic inspection in the fund. And at that point in time, obviously, MetCI was at least a conclusion that because of what they had discovered, the non-compliance on behalf of their agent, that they would remove the agent as investment manager of the fund.
Which is...
Because if I can just jump in there.
Right.
It is quite an important point. But initially, nobody really seemed to know what had happened. And in fact, MetCI... initially took the stance, quite a defensive stance, in saying that they were confident that everything had been handled as it should have been. But it became quite clear very quickly that wasn't the case. And this illustrates what Jürgen was saying, that nobody really knew what was going on inside the fund. It is also important to note that MetCI no longer runs any kind of... white labeling unit trust business, which is where this fund was positioned. They exited that operation last year. So there's no longer any risk to investors in that sense. But it does highlight the challenge that a white label manager does have, that they have oversight over an enormous number of funds which are not directly under their view, if you like. Being run by managers all over the country. And it does make it a lot more difficult to conduct oversight. And the order by the FSCA, I think, kind of raises the bar on what other white label mancos now need to do to ensure that they are, in fact, making sure that the funds on their license are compliant.
Yeah, Chris, that's absolutely correct what Patrick has raised. The size of this industry is roughly about 2.7 trillion rand. 1,700 funds. Of that, roughly 490-odd funds are white label or third-party funds, with about just under 500 billion rand in assets under management. And, you know, what these managers that run white label funds as a business need to realize is that the level of oversight required in terms of the collective investment schemes control is exactly the same whether it's a third-party fund or not. The manager is would be the responsible person in all instances. The third-party investment manager is a mere agent of the manager. Whatever the agent does, does or doesn't do, we hold the manager responsible. So this is a signal out there to the third-party, the managers that have substantial third-party fund business that they have to take their role and their fiduciary responsibility absolutely seriously.
Do you know, just to wrap up, guys, I'm quite gobsmacked when I read this at the end. It says, Theo Terblanche, the executive head of retail investments at Momentum Investments, says the company disagrees with the extent to which the FSCI has found against it. I mean, just reading Patrick's article here, I mean, it's just such a damning indictment of what went on. Frankly, I can't see any grounds for appealing. But, you know, I suppose that's their prerogative. It'll be fascinating to see what comes out of all of this.
Yeah, I think MSCI's position is that they're particularly unhappy with the finding that they were reckless, because that implies intent as far as they're concerned. And so that seems to be where their defence will lie. They're also not happy with the quantum of the fine. Jorgen will be able to talk about this better than I can, but I mean, a regulator does have a great difficulty setting a quantum because there's very little on which to base it. But if you consider that Steinhoff was fined 50 million in the end, perhaps 100 million is quite steep, but under the circumstances, you know, perhaps it's warranted. But we'll see how that unfolds.
Well, fantastic kudos to you, Patrick. I think, you know, what you've done is a really sterling job. And, you know, I think it requires a lot more in the way of journalists actually, you know, getting their sleeves rolled up and getting down and dirty and finding what's going on in there. Because as we said earlier in the broadcast there, you know, there could have been many other instances of things like this, perhaps not to quite the same extent. I think we have to wrap it there. Many, many thanks to Patrick Cairn, senior journalist at MoneyWeb, and to Jorgen Boyd, Deputy Chief Executive, Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Much appreciated.